Hi, friends. Thanks for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. My name is Kathy, and I'll be your host for today. Today, I wanted to share with you what God's been putting on my heart about the mercy and the grace of God. God's grace is sufficient, and God's grace is enough. And I just can't fathom all the times that God has spared us by His grace. And the other day I had heard a preacher, one of his sermons, and the great Billy Graham, who passed away. And some of you who don't know who he is, he was a great man of God that God called him to be a preacher. And he preached around the world, and he's already gone home to be with the Lord. But he was an awesome preacher, and I was listening to one of his sermons the other day, and that was previously recorded, and he was talking about God's goodness and God's grace. And he was speaking about when Jesus Christ was on the cross. Jesus Christ was on the cross, and while the nails were going through his hands and the nails through his feet, he took on sin. He was blameless and sinless, and he was called the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is Jesus Christ. And he wasn't a sinner, but yet when those nails was going through his hands, through his feet, and through his hands, he took on sin. He took on my sin. He took on your sin. He took on the sins of the world instantaneously, all at once, so that we could have that precious gift called eternal life. At any moment, he could have got off the cross and said, "Lord, I don't want to do it," but he didn't. He took on sin because we had a penalty, and that penalty was called death. We were doomed for death. But when he took on that sin and died on the cross, we got an escape called eternal salvation. And it's a free gift. You don't have to pay for eternal salvation. You don't have to work your way to get eternal salvation. You just have to have faith and believe that Jesus Christ was the Lord God and that he died on the cross for our sins. Another thing I want to describe about his goodness and grace is back in those days, the Samaritans didn't get along, not the Samaritans, the Philistines didn't get along with the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews wouldn't even talk to a Samaritan. And back then it wasn't allowed. When you had to walk down the road, they would always be separate. The Samaritans would be on one side, the Jews would be on the other side. But during a precious time, God already foreknew that a woman was going to go to Jacob's well. And that woman, God had a divine appointment with her. And when she went to the well, Jesus was waiting for her. And he began to speak to her. And she was like, "Why are you talking to me? I'm not your kind." God was a Jew, but the lady was a Samaritan. She wasn't their kind. Back in those days, they wouldn't talk. So when Jesus began to talk to her, she was in shock. She was surprised, like, "Why are you talking to me? Don't you know who I am?" And God was telling her, "I very well know who you are." And then she started mentioning about her husband. But the Lord said, "The man that you're with now is not your husband. But yes, you've had five." So basically, he was telling her everything about her past. And she knew that he was a prophet of God, and she knew that he was the Messiah. And because of that, she ran off to tell all her friends, to tell all her neighbors, that the man at the well knew everything about her. Have you ever had someone tell you anything about your life? And I'm not talking about the psychics. I'm not talking about the tarot reader card readers. Because those people are dealing with witchcraft. They're dealing with black magic. I'm talking about a true prophet of God. I'm talking about Jesus. Can Can you imagine Jesus coming down to you today and telling everything you ever did in your life from the time you were born to the time of your age now? You would be in shock. You would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that man was God. And at that time, Jesus was talking to the woman. She left gladly. She didn't get mad at Jesus and say, "Hey, why are you spilling out all my dirty laundry? Hey, how come you're talking about all the things I did in secret? I'm ashamed. I don't want nobody to know." No, she was happy that Jesus told her everything that she ever did in her life. Why? Because that gave her clarification. That gave her confirmation. And that let her know that what she was thinking about and who she was thinking this man was really the Son of God. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. He gave that woman grace. At any moment, she could have had the penalty of death. The wages of sin is death. God says, none, all have fallen short of the glory of God. No one's perfect, not in the whole world. The only one who was perfect, they were sinless. On the cross, Jesus Christ got on that cross, took the penalty of death, took the wages of death, which was for our sins, my sins, your sins, the world's sins, all at once, so that we could have eternal salvation. Now that, my friends, is God's goodness, God's mercy, and His grace. Because we didn't deserve eternal salvation. We didn't deserve it. But because of God's agape love, He gave His only Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we wouldn't have to go through that ragged price called death. If Jesus Christ would have never died on the cross, there all of us would have died without any hope for eternal salvation, without any hope for resurrection, just as Jesus Christ resurrected. But God gave us that eternal hope that we could have eternal life and spend eternity with Him. Eternity in paradise, eternity in heaven, walking those streets of gold, seeing God face to face, seeing the Creator of the universe face to face, and spending all eternity with Him. That's agape love. That's unconditional love. That's everlasting love. That's a pure form of love. And God loves you so much that He doesn't want you to lose out from that opportunity. You know, I can't boggle the mindset. So many people read that scripture of when the woman at the well was being told basically all about her life by Jesus, and they take that for granted. Or even the divine appointment, like I mentioned before, that back in those days, the Samaritans wouldn't be caught talking to the Jews. It was forbidden. But at that time, Jesus didn't care. He had a divine appointment with that woman. He didn't care who saw him. He didn't care who knew about him. He needed to meet that woman at the well. He walked to the well. She walked to the well. That's divine appointment. At any time, she could have went before God. She could have went after God. Jesus, but He already foreknew what was going to take place. He had a meeting. He had a specific time to meet that woman. And He walked. Not only did He talk to her face to face, He sat down with her. Back in those days, if you got caught looking at you, talking to somebody that you weren't supposed to talk to, it would be forbidden. You'd be like an outcaster. The people, the neighbors, the people around there wouldn't want to talk to you. Because they would be like, "Hey, you talk to a Samaritan. We're Jews. We're not supposed to talk to those people. We're not even supposed to be associating with them. We're not supposed to be hanging around with them. We're not supposed to be talking to them. Much less sitting down for minutes having a conversation with them. But yet, Jesus walked. Back in those days, let's say, for example, a Samaritan went one way and a Jew was coming the other. They wouldn't even walk down the path together. They were on opposite sides of the road. For example, the Jew would be walking to the right side of the road and the Samaritan would be coming back on the left side of the road. They had their distance. They were kept apart. They were separated. Why? Because it was unheard of for them to talk to each other. It was unheard of for them to communicate to each other. Nowadays, you'll see them sitting down, talking with each other, conversating. But back in those days, it was unheard of. It was uncalled for. But God's grace, Jesus Christ knew that the world was laying on his shoulders, that the world was in his hands. And God knew that if he didn't do something, the penalty was going to be death. There was going to be no resurrection. There was going to be no resurrection and when the person died and being resurrected and then spending all eternity with heaven. So God had to pay a price. And what did he do? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And 3 days later, he rose again. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. For everyone's sin. The sin of abortion. The sin of adultery. The sin of drunkenness. The sin of blasphemy. The sin of lying. The sin of cheating. He paid every single sin, not just one sin, every single sin of all mankind. Your sin, my sin, your parents' sin, your children's sin. Come on now, I'm preaching. He paid everybody's sin all at once for all mankind so that all mankind could be spared and have that opportunity of eternal salvation. But he's not going to force eternal salvation upon you. He's not going to force it upon your children, upon your loved ones. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will present the opportunity to you. And by that I mean he will send people in your path to talk about him, to talk about Jesus Christ. And it's up to you to receive that eternal gift of salvation. And thank God we don't have to pay for it. Thank God we don't have to give $100, $1,000, $1,000,000 to get eternal salvation. Because then nobody would be getting into heaven. Thank God we don't have to earn it. Some people out there are being preached that you have to earn good works to get to heaven. And if you're being taught that, my friends, I'm sorry, you're in a false doctrine. You need to run out of that church as fast as you can. There's no amount of good in us. The Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we are all wicked, that our hearts are deceitful. But God gave us grace and he gave us his mercy. He gave us his goodness because he knew that we couldn't do that on our own. So he sent his precious gift, his only son, to die for you and me so that we could spend all eternity with him, to be able to walk the streets of gold, to be able to see that tree of life, that water tree of life, the rivers of flowing water, the rivers of life everlasting. The Bible says that we're supposed to forgive each other 70 times 7. 70 times 7. There are some hard times, hard situations that you got to forgive a family member. You got to forgive a friend. You got to forgive a stranger. Perhaps the way that they talked to you. Perhaps the way that they spoken to you, that they treat you. And Jesus says that if you don't forgive them, He's not going to forgive you. That's just plain and simple. I'll be honest, my friends, I'm human myself. There are times that it's hard to forgive. But we don't have a choice. We can't afford to not forgive. Because if the Bible's very clear, if we don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive us. And God forgave us. Jesus Christ forgave us when He died on the cross for us. That was the ultimate sacrifice. So you don't have to worry. If you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, if you ask God for forgiveness of your sins, you're reading your word, you're in a good Bible church, believing church, you don't have to worry about the wage of death, the penalty of death. Because then when you die, the next moment that you take your next breath, you'll be meeting your Maker, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and finisher of all things with this God. You're going to see Him face to face on Judgment Day. And you're going to hear those precious words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven." But if you never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you never asked Him for forgiveness, you never forgave other people for the way that they treated you or talked to you, and you're walking around with a cold heart, and you don't go to church, and you're not studying God's word, and you don't have faith in God, you're going to hear God say, "Depart from me, you wicked sinner, I never knew you." And you're going to be thrown into the lake of fire with all the demons and with the devil himself for all eternity with no air to breathe, because God is the Prince of Air. You're going to have no light because Jesus is light. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody enters into heaven except through the Father. You're not going to have no joy because God is joy. You're not going to have no peace because God is peace. You will spend eternity in darkness. The Bible describes hell as an evil place where people are gashing, yelling at each other, screams, moaning, groaning, because their souls and their flesh is being torn apart by the demons. There's going to be no hope in hell. The only hope you're going to have is in heaven. There's no light in hell. There's no peace in hell. You'll be worrying in hell. You'll be crying in hell. You'll be screaming in hell. You'll be in agonizing pain in hell. You'll be thirsty in hell. You'll be hungry in hell. And that's just not for one day, my friends. That's for all eternity. Hell is like a prison. The only difference is, and in prison, you have an opportunity to escape. You have an opportunity for parole to get out. Hell is like a life sentence. There's no parole. There's no escape. There's no doors to walk out of. There's no hope. My friends, God gave the ultimate sacrifice, His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could have eternal hope. And that hope came in the form of Jesus, which took on a human form, a spirit of man, to die on the cross, to shed His blood, so that we could have eternal life. Now, are you going to take that free gift of eternal life? Are you just going to let it wash away? Are you just going to let that opportunity pass you by? There's people in hell that are going to wish they had the opportunity to be able to get that second chance. But my friends, it's too late for them. They'll never have that second chance. They'll never have that second opportunity. The Bible says tomorrow's not promised. You don't know when your last day's going to be. You want that guaranteed hope, that guaranteed assurance, that guaranteed inheritance, that when you die, without a shadow of a doubt, you'll know that you'll go to heaven. But not only you, but your loved ones, your family. My friends, when you die, your parents aren't going to be there to tell Jesus, this person was a great man, they were a great daughter, a great son. They were a great brother, a great sister. They were a great friend, a great parent. There is going to be no one beside you. The only one that's going to be there on judgment day is you and God. And you will be judged. But wouldn't it be nice for you to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you're stress-free. You don't have to worry about a thing. You're going to have the light from God because He's light. You'll have the air from God because He's air. You'll have the peace from God because He brings peace that passes all understanding, a sweet peace. You'll have the joy of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Take this opportunity, my friends. Each minute counts. Each second counts. Each moment counts. Each day counts. Each week counts. Each month counts. Each year counts. Your days are numbered. The Bible says that Jesus knows the number of our hairs on our head, and He counts them. He counts them one by one. That means God's into the tiniest details of our life. If you take a look at your hair, can you count the number of hairs on your head? I can't. Can you? No. So take this opportunity. Don't waste it. There's people in hell that wish they had a second chance, and they will never be given that second chance. So if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, I want you to repeat after me. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sins today. I turn my back on sin. I turn my back on the devil. I turn my back on the demon forces, and I accept You into my heart today. I believe You died on the cross, and 3 days later, You rose again. I ask You to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is a big book in heaven that has everybody's name, whoever accepted Jesus Christ into their heart. You said, Lord, in John 3:16, for whoever believes in You shall not perish but have everlasting life. Thank You, Lord, for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I know if I were to die tonight in a tragic car accident, I would see You face to face and get to spend all eternity with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. But if you're like those other people who are agnostic, who are atheists, who don't believe in God, you're going to be up for a rude awakening when you take your last breath on earth. Because regardless what your belief is in, you're going to see God face to face. And you're going to hear Him say, depart from Me, you wicked sinner. I never knew you. You're going to be thrown into the lake of fire with hot brimstone coals. You're going to be thrown into hell with the devil and all his demon forces, all his demon friends. And you're going to be tortured for all eternity with no escape. No hope, total darkness, separated from God. You won't be able to call out for God because there is no God in hell. He can go to hell, but He's not going to get you out of it because you already took your stance. You already determined your fate. Remember, my friends, faith without works is dead. God did His part by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Now we have to put actions to our faith by accepting Him publicly as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you said that prayer today, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of heaven. Your next step is to get into a good Bible-believing church. Go find a good church, one that preaches about repentance, asking for forgiveness of sins, one that preaches about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the only way to get into heaven. Harmony Krishna can't save you. Buddha can't save you. Catholics can't save you. Come on now, I'm preaching. Some of you are Catholics. Your religion preaches that there's a purgatory. My friends, there is no purgatory. It's either heaven or hell. You're either for God or against Him. There's no in between. When you die, you're not going to go to purgatory. And the people that are left behind on earth are going to pray a rosary. And then your soul gets to go from purgatory to heaven. That's not how it works. That's a false doctrine. If you're in that doctrine, I suggest you find another believing church. One that talks about the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He is, and what He can do for us. That's in Acts chapter 2. You need to get into a good Bible-believing church. If they're talking more about themselves, you need to get out of that church. If they're talking about that there's all ways to get to heaven, you need to get out of that church. If they're talking about that it's okay to be gay or lesbian, you need to get out of that church. Because God says that homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord. You may have family that are living that lifestyle. You may have friends that are living that lifestyle. You need to tell them that lifestyle is not of God. You can't serve two masters. You can only serve Jesus or the devil. And I guarantee you, my friends, if you're not serving Jesus now, God's looking that you're serving the devil. Thank you so much for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. I hope this encouraged you. I know it's a little bit long, but God's been putting that on my heart. The clock is ticking, my friends. Time is ticking. There are people that died in 2023 that didn't even get to see 2024. And perhaps they wish that they had another chance, another opportunity. But it's too late for them. They lost that chance. They're in hell now, suffering the consequences. Why? Because they never took time out of their day to accept Jesus Christ into their heart. Why? Because they never took time out of their day to repent of their sins. They always thought they had another chance. They thought they had another day, another week, another month, another year. Tomorrow is not promised. You're not going to live for eternity. Some people think they're going to live for eternity. You're not. You'll live for eternity in the afterlife. But where you go totally depends upon you. If you're going to go to heaven or earth. If you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you repented of your sins, you'll go to heaven. If you denied Christ, you never repented of your sins and you never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you're going to go to hell. And that's plain and simple. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm going to tell you the facts. The facts is one day you are going to die. You are going to meet your Maker, Jesus Christ, face to face. You're going to have two options to go. You're either going to go to heaven or to hell. The choice is yours, my friends. Don't waste this opportunity. Don't waste it. God loves you. I love you. And He wants the best for your life. Thank you, my friends, for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. Once again, my name is Kathy. Have a great weekend. I love you. I'm praying for you. Share this podcast with other friends, with your family. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.